Okay, on this first Sunday in May 2018, we're always looking forward to hearing a rousing prayer from our Deacon Sullivan. So have at it, sir.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love and grace, and we ask that the Holy Spirit be our teacher today. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. We give thanks to thee, O Lord. Thanks. We give thanks to thee, O Lord. We give thanks. For thy name is near. Thy wondrous works men declare. We give thanks to thee, O Lord. We give thanks. I give thanks to thee, O Lord, I give thanks. I give thanks to thee, O Lord, I give thanks. For thy name is near, thy wondrous works men declare. I give thanks to thee, O Lord, I give thanks. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness, with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of my Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of your mercies, O my Lord, forever I will sing of your mercies, O my Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in you will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in you will I trust. My God, in you will I trust. My God, in you will I trust. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise. And give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise. And give him praise. Give glory and honor and power to his name. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, the name above all names. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Just a sheep of His hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God, You are great and greatly to be praised. Our God, You are great and greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before Him and burns up all His enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. Yes, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare His righteousness. The people see His glory. For You, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. Oh, the Lord reigns. Our Lord, He reigns. Our Lord, He reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Amen. Yes, He does. No doubt about it. Well, we have a lot to share today. It's wonderful to be able to sing His praises. And of course, we know that endorphins in our brain, natural endorphins in our brain are released even while we're praising Him. For God inhabits the praise of His people, and where the Lord is, there's healing in His wings, and of course, not just physical healing, but emotional healing and all these other kind of things. Well, a lot happened this week. Of course, this was the annual National Day of Prayer on Thursday. It's always the first Thursday. People always ask me, what's the date of it? I always tell them it's the first Thursday in May. So this year, of course, the theme was unity. And I thought about that too, because a lot of times it's expected that unity will come when everybody is united in the same place, in the same mindset, you might say, but that's not what it's about. And I haven't read much about the testimonies. I know that there was one in Rochester and various places throughout the state. Of course, where we were last Sunday in Tamworth, they had a National Day of Prayer observance at, I think it was 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night at the church there in Tamworth. So I would expect that at least the idea of unity is we all came together, and of course, though we were not able to attend an event, we did remember to pray on that day in that way, and of course we listened to some people who were part of different things that were expressing what it meant to them. So the unity of all of us praying at the same time throughout the country and praying for the variety of different subjects we were praying for. But also this week, Cecil Richards from Planned Parenthood resigned. And of course that, you know, would seem like a good thing, and I don't know who's going to be replacing her necessarily. But we're seeing that actually more Americans die through abortion than are killed by guns or traffic accidents or all those things, which surprised a lot of people. And of course, do we think that it's actually a new event about child sacrifice, we'll call it, but it's not. And part of the reason is because Satan has always wanted to destroy what God created in his own image. And of course, sacrificing the babies through abortion, killing them, we think that that's just since Roe versus Wade in America, but it's not true. I mean, actually, human sacrifice and sacrifice babies goes way back. I'm not going to be able to read this entire article, but it's titled, Ancient Mass Child Sacrifice May Be World's Largest. More than 140 children were ritually killed in a single event in Peru more than 500 years ago. What could possibly have been the reason? Evidence for the largest single incident of mass child sacrifice in the Americas, and likely in world history, has been discovered on Peru's northern coast. And this was found by archaeologists. More than 140 children and 200 young llamas appear to have been ritually sacrificed in an event that took place some 550 years ago on the windswept bluff overlooking the Pacific Ocean, in the shadow of what was then the sprawling capital of Chimú Empire. Scientific investigations by the international interdisciplinary team led by Gabriel Prieto of University of Trujillo, of course Trujillo is the capital there, and John Verano of Tulane University are ongoing. The work is supported by grants from the National Geographic Society. While incidents of human sacrifice among the Aztec and the Maya and the Inca have been recorded in colonial era Spanish chronicles and documented in modern scientific excavations, the discovery of a large-scale child sacrifice event in the little-known pre-Columbian Chimú civilization is unprecedented in the Americas, if not the entire world. Preserved in dry sand for more than 500 years, more than a dozen children were revealed over the course of a day by archaeologists. The majority of the ritual victims were, I for one never expected it, said Verano, a physical anthropologist who has worked in the region for more than three decades, and I don't think anyone else would have either. So I'm not going to read the rest of this, but it just points out the fact that the ancient Chimú Administrative Center, which in beyond its walls, the modern provincial capital of Trujillo, at its peak, the Chimú Empire controlled a 600-mile-long territory along the Pacific coast and interior valleys from the modern Peru-Ecuador border to Lima. So, my point here, without reading the entire article, and it's a very good one, and that they actually took the children and smeared their faces with a red cinnabar-based pigment during the ceremony before their chests were cut open, most likely to remove their hearts. The ritual killings included a skull stained with red cinnabar-based pigment, a human rib bone with cut marks, and a sternum severed in half. Now, of course, that sounds so grisly and so gruesome, which it is, but is it any different than what abortionists are doing here in America? That's my point. Now, another thing we need to be concerned with, because it's happening in America, and because it's happening to a lot of Americans, and we need to be praying about this, as thousands flee after Hawaii earthquake triggers volcanic eruptions. A 5.7 magnitude tremor hit the island on Friday. The quakes prompted the Kilauea volcano, one of five active on the island, to erupt. Leilani states, thousands of people have been forced to flee after a magnitude 6.9 earthquake shook Hawaii's Big Island, triggering the collapse of a coastal cliff and prompting fresh eruptions of a volcano that has been spewing lava near residential areas. Now, I have been on that spot pretty much and seen what happens there, and of course the smell of sulfur, fire, and brimstone. And to watch the molten lava flowing like a river, it's incredible. And then watch it go out into the ocean, mm-hmm. where you see huge billows of steam from that lava going there. And of course, the lava goes into the water. You see the steam coming up, but actually after a while, that lava becomes solidified. And of course, I guess you might say it's making more land in Hawaii, but very dangerous. So the Federal Aviation Administration imposed flight restrictions over the area through Monday and for all but relief operations. The quakes triggered rock slides on trails in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park and caused a coastal cliff to collapse in the ocean. Officials ordered a rare closure of the park, which covers more than one-tenth the island's total area. About 2,600 visitors were evacuated. It's currently not safe to be here, Park Superintendent Cindy Orlando said in a statement. Video footage showed orange magma gushing up from cracks in the ground and snaking through a wooded area. Molten lava could also be seen bubbling up through cracks in streets in the Leilani Estates, and Lanapuna Gardens neighborhood, where residents were ordered to evacuate on Thursday. Thousands of people have been told to leave their homes on Hawaii's Big Island following the eruption of the Kilauea volcano. This is home to about 1,700 people, 770 structures, and some 10,000 people live in the border district potentially impacted. I can tell you I have experienced also on the Big Island what they call VOG. You know, the smog in the cities, but there is VOG, which is actually the fallout and the smoke from the volcano. So Governor David Ige mobilized the Hawaii National Guard, which deployed about 70 soldiers and airmen to help with the evacuation, neighborhood security, and other emergency work. Dangerous gas warning. Officials warned of extremely high levels of toxic gas emitted from the volcano. Hawaii Fire Department reports extremely dangerous air quality conditions due to high levels of sulfur dioxide gas. The Hawaii County Civil Defense Agency said elderly, young, and people with respiratory issues need to comply with the mandatory evacuation order, said a statement from the mayor's office. A map of the Hawaiian Islands locating Kilauea Volcano, one of the largest, most world's most effective and active volcanoes. Iggy said the residents were being housed in community center until the danger is past. The governor visited two evacuation shelters and said he had met many people who were frightened and deeply concerned about losing everything, but that Hawaiians would come together to help. This is a resilient community. So I'm not going to read on anymore, but we certainly pray for those people that are affected there on the Big Island of Hawaii. That's how you pronounce it in Hawaiian, with a little glottal stop there, Hawaii. The American dream is not that every man must be level with every other man. The American dream is that every man must be free to become whatever God intends he should be. That was said by Ronald Reagan. A lady named Bethany Mandel said, Britain outlaws guns, started taking knives, and now starves toddlers to death. Something tells me the first two had to happen before the third. That's an interesting statement. And of course, they're talking about the toddler that actually died this week. The parents tried to take him out of the hospital. They wouldn't let him, and he ended up dying. If by the liberty of the press were understood merely the liberty of discussing the propriety of public measures and political opinions, let us have as much of it as you please. But if it means the liberty of affronting, calumniating, and defaming one another, I, for my own part, own myself willing to part with my share of it whenever our legislatures shall please so to alter the law and shall cheerfully consent to exchange my liberty of abusing others for the privilege of not being abused myself. And that from Benjamin Franklin in 1789. God swings big doors on little hinges. Facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclination, or the dictates of our passions, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. John Adams, 1770. It's necessary for every American with becoming energy to endeavor to stop the dissemination of principles evidently destructive of the cause for which they have bled. That from Mercy, Otis Warren, 1805. Would you be surprised to learn that abortion is the leading cause of death in America? It outpaces heart disease and cancer as the number one killer of American babies, that is. But while we spend billions of dollars to treat and stop the spread of heart disease and cancer, our government is giving over half a billion of our tax dollars to the leading purveyor of death in America today, Planned Parenthood. In 2017 alone, Planned Parenthood generated more than $1.45 billion. Much of that revenue was in the name of choice, reproductive freedom, women's health, and all the euphemisms for abortion. We have become a nation of the offended, so said Robert D. Rayford. And I guess, as we've talked about, how we could be described, being the religious right or whatever else, well, we're the right and the writer. Means we're right and even more than right. And here's a little write-up that I thought was important to look at. Love, humbleness, encouraging, mature. All those words, love, humbleness, encouraging, and mature, are all words that are missing their true meanings in our societies, but not in Scripture, and should not be missing in describing a Christian. Yes, we're surrounded now by medias that criticize almost everything. The temptations are all around us. We must focus in God's direction like a horse with blinders on. Otherwise, today's world will suck us into the vortex of bad behavior. Think about that. That's so very true. Many people have no idea what good character is, let alone godly character. And remember, the word good comes from the word godly. They have no idea what moral courage takes, but easily flip their lips in other directions. Many use social media to rant on about their own particular beliefs, and most to put others down who do not believe their way. Can you see love or Christ or humility or encouragement in that? And as one preacher said, and I'm going to use it for a theme for us today, I may be in the storm, but the storm is not in me. I'm going to say that again. I may be in the storm, but the storm is not in me. That's so important and so true. I'm going to look at a couple of passages of Scripture, if you will. Take your Bibles in hand. First one we're going to look at is in the 122nd Psalm. In verse 6, because of course, with all the things that are going on right now in the Middle East and in Israel, so forth, we have been told in this passage of Scripture, and I'll read this and the rest of us will read for another passage. This is just simple. Psalm 122 at verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. And so what are the benefits and the blessings of praying for the peace of Jerusalem? Well, that's not really the right question, because the fact is the Lord says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We see so much going on in the news. And of course, as we've just had our National Day of Prayer, I don't think it was necessarily on the list that I saw of for the National Day of Prayer, but it should have been, because we're involved with Israel. Israel is involved with us. So we're told by the Lord to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And may they be secure who love you. And of course, that brings about on a personal basis the second part of that verse. Well, Lord, I love you. So I want to be secure in that. And so that brings up our theme again. I may be surrounded by the storm, but the storm is not in me. I may be surrounded by lack of peace, but your peace is in me. And in verse 7, peace be within your walls and security within your towers. Of course, these days we have homeland security. We have all these security companies and whatever else, but where do we really find the security that we're looking for? In our towers, of course. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. Yes, Lord, we are certainly believing that this is the truth of your word, but it's also the promise of your word, too, for those who do those things that you have asked them to do. Well, now I will ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's not a long chapter. It's got 19 verses, I think. Yeah. So, we'll start at verse 1 and see what 19.
Actually, 16, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Yeah, 16, you're right. They make those numbers so tiny and difficult to tell.
They sure do.
Okay, so if it's 18, 16 verses, four of us, four each, starting with Mrs. Lear on my left, the readers today.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 from the English Standard Version. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 from the English Standard Version.
And continuing verses 5 through 8. That your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And that was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12.
Okay, good. And I am reading from the English Standard Version. And beginning at verse 13. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Praise God from the reading of his word. That's verses 13 through 16 in the English Standard Version. Well, it's a short chapter, to be sure. Not many chapters of the Bible are as short as 16 verses. But let me just say, this is a chapter of Scripture that, or a passage of Scripture that is chock full of great things we need to be reminded of. And of course, let me refer again to our theme today. I might be in the storm, but the storm's not in me. And of course, as we have just talked about, in a sense, storms that are happening in Hawaii. And of course, for us here in New England, Hawaii is a long way away. But there are other places in storms. In fact, actually here in Maine recently, I guess around Wells and Sanford, there's been some fires and things of that nature. There's always something going on. Of course, we've had, thunderstorms were predicted, and we've had excessive rain showers. So, I mean, there's always storms. But aside from the physical storms, the storms that we're, enduring around, is so much in terms of spiritual storms, you might say. I want to draw your attention to verse 5. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men. That's actually verse 6. And 5. Yeah. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's read that again, verse 5. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, I have a message for all the state legislatures, for all the governors, for all the senators, that if you are trusting in your own wisdom and not in the power of God, you can be sure that your decisions will not be very good and trouble is going to come from it. We're seeing that day after day after day in all levels of government. Wisdom from the Spirit. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Now, in reading a verse like that, many ways to view it, coming and going, so to speak. But the thing that touches my heart so much as God decreed before the ages for our glory. So there are things that are happening that was in the mind of the Lord and that the Lord had been planning for us so much. And of course, once again, as our theme, I might be in the storm, but the storm's not in me. We could also say the same thing is, I live in an unpeaceful time or an unpeaceful place, but the peace of the Lord is in me. And so the situation of what the Lord does inside of us, just the same as saying, okay, I'm It's pretty stormy up, and I'm sitting inside my warm and comfortable house that the Lord has provided. And so we have to think of how that works. And of course, a verse that I've always particularly enjoyed referring to is the one that verse 9, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Let me read it again. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, once again, I may be in the storm, but the storm's not in me. And so the remembrance of the fact that we haven't really seen, nor heard, nor is it actually in the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. So, if you love him, and I certainly hope you do, I mean, only the Lord can tell for sure if you do, I can say for my own part, I love the Lord, and so he has prepared something for me. I like it sometimes when I say to Kathy, my wife, you know, she'll say, what do you want for dinner? Or what do you want for breakfast? And I'll just say, why don't you surprise me? You know, because I trust her surprises. She's not going to give me liverwurst or liver or something because she knows I don't like that. So, the Lord will surprise us because we love him, the things he's got prepared for us. So as we go on, these things God has revealed to us through what? And Deacon Sullivan prayed in the beginning, Holy Spirit, be our teacher. And that's certainly a correct prayer. It's a biblically accurate prayer. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that he might understand the things freely given us by God. Now, of course, let's point out here that there's the spirit of the world, and we haven't received that. And of course, the spirit of that person, which is in him, see also that no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And we know that the Holy Spirit was sent to us because when Jesus was departing, sending into heaven, he said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit and he will teach you everything he's seen and heard in heaven. Well, most people say, well, what do we care, you know, at this point, what's going on in heaven? But we do pray the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, as some people refer to it. And it refers to the fact that let heaven be combined with earth. You know, in the sense of saying, okay, what's happening in heaven to be happening in earth? Well, it's not through the spirit of the world. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. Well, have you not observed that? Verse 14. how many people that you know, they just think it's folly. I mean, we hear it all the time on the news media, of these things that are being said, so foolish, so profane and whatever else. But should we be surprised by that? Shouldn't be surprised by it. Because the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things. Okay, are you a spiritual person? If you are, you're going to be judging all things. Now, some people are uncomfortable with that word judging. Okay, how about if I give you this phrase? The spiritual person evaluates all things, tests all things. The real fruit inspector. But is himself to be judged by no one. And I know many have stood before an earthly judge in a courtroom and said, "You can't judge me. The Bible says no one judges me." And then, of course, the judge says, "You're in contempt of court," or something like that, haul them away. But what the Lord wants to get across to us is that no man is going to be judging us for heaven or hell. No man is going to be evaluating us in that way, but the Lord himself will certainly judge us, and he'll evaluate it. And pay close attention to the last verse in the chapter, verse 16. "For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The point there, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? So many people pray in a way like they're trying to tell God what to do, or they're trying to give him instruction. Trust me, beloved, I want to tell you, the Lord doesn't need your instruction. The Lord doesn't need my instruction. He knows what to do because he's God and I'm not. Great, great point of reference. He is God and I am not. But then we're told that we have the mind of Christ. Oh yes, Lord. I need to have your mind about a lot of things. And one of the things, of course, is that the Lord was never defeated. He didn't have a defeatist attitude. You know, like, why bother going to the cross? It's not going to do anything. I mean, the way a lot of Christians, and of course that phrase we wrote about love, humbleness, encouraging, and mature. But of course, there are words that are missing their true meaning in our society, but not in Scripture, and should not be missing in describing a Christian. And of course, as I also read, that some people have no idea what good character is, let alone godly character. They have no idea what moral courage takes, but easily flip their lips in another direction. So, when we have the mind of Christ, and do I exhort you today how important that's going to be, not just today, but in days to come, because we see the prince of the power of the air, the enemy Satan, what he is doing, still sacrificing human sacrifice of American babies. Those kind of things. Yeah, we're in a storm. No doubt about it. But the storm's not in me. And the storm should not be in you. And we're surrounded by a lack of peace throughout the whole world. But the peace of Christ has to be in us. And so, Lord, we would like to lift up to you now the people there in Hawaii that are suffering. We can't turn our backs on people that are suffering. The requests that have been made by the Ayatollah, that he's asking all the Muslim countries to come together to defeat America. That could be a pretty scary thing. But we know the truth of that. The enemy may try to gather up his minions to try to storm heaven and take you off the throne, but it can't be done. They'll try, but it can't be done. And Lord, so we're glad to be your hands extended. We're glad to speak the high praises of the Lord. Not surprised that many of you don't understand, because they're spiritually dead, or spiritually ignorant, or spiritually deaf. But we do remember what the scripture says. Yes. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. This we pray in your name, Jesus. And we'll have no other king but King Jesus. Amen.